Well, happy Sabbath, one and all, and welcome to our main church service on this 10th day of September 2016. Welcome to those listening on the phone, those listening to the recording of today's service, as well as those that have tuned in to WLMR Radio. It's a privilege and honor to have you in fellowship with us and to unite your voices in praising our God, from whom all blessings flow. So, happy Sabbath, one and all. Got a very important sermon to give today, actually the beginning of a series that is going to be going through all the different major events through these last days, all the way through the second coming of Christ, until the earth is made new and even afterwards. So we appreciate you choosing to be with us. And thank you, dear ones, for the suggestion to bring about this topic as an investigative issue to delve into God's Word about. Before we get into the sermon, it's time for opening song, and our song that we're going to open with is entitled "I'm Pressing on the Upward Way." I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where those abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, plant our feet on higher ground. Lord, lift us up and let us stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than we have found. Lord, plant our feet on higher ground. And he will do so if you come to him asking in faith without doubting. It's now time for opening prayer, and our dear sister Elaine will lead us in that.
May we all kneel where possible, bow our heads. Our dear loving Heavenly Father in heaven, we thank you that every week we can rejoice in what you have created, for you gave us this Sabbath day. And Father, we know that this is one day that we're going to enjoy with you throughout eternity. And we pray, dear Lord, that more than anything else, that you will help each of us to be faithful. Dear Lord, we know that the signs around us, some of them aren't as easily seen, others are more obvious. But we know that time is short. And we know that the temptations, the trials are going to be greater and greater. But dear Lord, you will not leave us to do any of this alone. You knew that he was to die, and yet he said he could not be moved. How many have we seen? We've seen Daniel. We've seen so many of our forebears that have gone before, who have remained steadfast, who have been with us, who have not do any disservice to your work, your life, to any testimony that they could be given. And Father, we pray we can be as strong as Elijah was, and he was taken to heaven. And dear Lord, we also want to be as strong as John the Baptist, even though he was put to death. But both were called an Elijah. And we pray, dear Lord, that no matter what happens, that you will choose, that we can be an Elijah, and that you choose which one we are to be. We know the task will not be easy and can call for great difficulties. But dear Lord, you have chosen some people at the last days who are willing to suffer anything and to go through anything, that they will be strong and they will show the world that everything that you've been at, that we have been asked to do, you have given us the strength to do. And dear Lord, we pray that if it be thy will, that any one of us, 144,000, we pray, dear Lord, for the strength. Not for tomorrow, not for next week, but for today, that we will do all in thy power, so that we will be stronger for the next day. And we pray, dear Lord, that we will be faithful to the end, that we might see our loved ones, that we might see all the patriarchs who have gone before us, and rejoice together at thy throne. We pray.
Amen. Amen, and thank you, dear sister. Well, this Sabbath, we begin a series that's entitled Scenario of Events in These Last Days. And there is a growing confusion among our separated remnant people as to the sequence of events which will take place regarding the latter rain and the loud cry, the Sunday law, the close of probation, the plagues, the second coming of Christ, and then what occurs afterwards. And so for the next few Sabbaths, we'll be investigating into all of these areas to see exactly what occurs when, and then what occurs next in these last days, all the way until sin is forever eradicated from God's universe. So let us begin with the events surrounding the Sunday law. Now, first, regarding the Sunday law itself, some believe that the national Sunday law in the United States of America cannot be enacted without a long period of time elapsing so that it can be challenged as being unconstitutional and then eventually will be decided by the Supreme Court before it can be enforced. But this particular belief is not correct. And Satan is seeking to gain an advantage over our people through their lack of understanding on this vitally important subject. So then what is the truth regarding the Sunday law? And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes that I'll be referring to in this sermon, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1504.htm. And thank you, dear sister, for putting the link in the room. So can the Sunday law be enacted and enforced today without a long, drawn-out legal battle ensuing and the Supreme Court finally getting involved? And the answer is yes. If you look at quote number one, what many people do not realize is that this very issue of whether the Sunday law is constitutional or not in America has already been legally heard, discussed, and finally decided by the Supreme Court of the United States of America. The four case decisions on this very topic of the constitutionality of the Sunday rest were Margaret M. McGowan versus the State of Maryland, Gallagher versus Crown Kosher Supermarket of Massachusetts, Two Guys, which was a store, from Harrison Allentown, Pennsylvania, versus McGinley, and Braunfield versus Brown, all taking place in the decision by the Supreme Court in May 29, 1961. Chief Justice Earl Warren, who, by the way, was a Roman Catholic, declared in these four different cases in 1961 that having Sunday of each week as a uniform day of rest from secular activities for all Americans did not violate the Constitution, even though it favored a rest day that's considered sacred and holy by a majority of religions. So it's already been heard, it's already been decided that Sunday legislation is not unconstitutional, but it is constitutional. And this wasn't just one case, but four different cases. So then this means that there doesn't have to be a legal, drawn out process before Sunday laws can be made and enforced today, because it's already been declared constitutional by the Supreme Court. Now, if you look at quote number two, now this false belief shows us that we cannot trust only on what others tells us is the truth, including what the church or its leaders may tell us, because if we do so, then we will be cursed. We're told in Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. So in regards to the issue of the Sunday law and what many people have been led to believe about it, we can't trust to what they tell us, because if we do so, then we will be cursed. And neither can we depend alone upon our own wisdom and what we think is the truth, because our own wisdom is foolishness. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 18 to 20, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Also in Isaiah 28, verse 7, But they, referring to God's people, also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. So as this is true, that we can't trust in what people tell us, we can't trust in what our pastor or priest or church or even our own minds tell us is the truth, then the only certain and trustworthy place where we can obtain the knowledge and wisdom with which to correctly understand the truth in these last days must be from God Himself. And God mercifully promises to grant us all the knowledge and wisdom that we need in order to understand His truth. All we have to do is come to Him asking, and He will give us. In James 1:5, we're told, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, that means doesn't hold back, and it shall be given him. John 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And in John 14:26 and 16:13. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. So the wisdom and knowledge which comes from God, as is found in His inspired word, must be our only foundation and dependence in trying to understand the truth surrounding these last days, including the Sunday law. We're told in Isaiah 8, verse 20, To the law, or the Bible, and to the testimony, which is the spirit of prophecy, it's Revelation 19:10. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. In 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And in 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try, that means to test, the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So, dear ones, we must each search and study God's inspired word for ourselves in order to know the truth dealing with these last days, dealing with the subjects of the latter rain, the loud cry, the Sunday law, and all the other events that are going to take place. And we cannot allow any man or church to be our conscience or to do our study for us. Because as we're told in 2 John 1:7, there are many deceivers that are entered into the world, into the churches, So this means that the only person that we must go to in order to find the truth is God Himself. And He will indeed lead and guide us. So as this is true, then let us set aside what we may have been taught by others and even our churches regarding the timing of the events of these last days. And let us allow God's inspired word to show and instruct us as to what is the truth regarding these last days. Now, I took the time to research throughout the inspired word of God dealing with the latter rain, the loud cry, the Sunday law, and the events connected with it, also with the close of probation, the second coming of Christ, the earth made new, what will the saints be doing afterwards for eternity? And I then compiled all of these passages together in order to see the correct chronological order of these events. And in doing this, I discovered that there are 30 different events. 30. So let us now begin to examine each one of these different 30 chronological events and see what God's inspired word of truth reveals about each one of these. Now the first one, if you look at quote number 3, event number 1 is that the latter rain falls and the loud cry message goes forth before the Sunday law is passed. Now, multitudes believe that the Sunday law must be passed first, before it's time for the latter rain to fall and time to give the loud cry. But this belief does not agree with the inspired word of God, and thus it cannot be truth. In early writings, page 271 to 272, we're told, I heard those clothed with the armor speak forth the truth with great power. It had effect. Many who had been bound, some wives by their husbands and some children by their parents, the honest who had been prevented from hearing the truth, now eagerly laid hold upon it. All fear of their relatives was gone, and the truth alone was exalted to them. They had been hungering and thirsting for truth. It was dearer and more precious than life. I asked what had made this great change. An angel answered, "It is the latter rain, the refreshing from the presence of the Lord, the loud cry of the third angel." Great power was with these chosen ones. Said the angel, "Look ye." My attention was turned to the wicked or unbelievers. They were all astir. The zeal and power with the people of God had aroused and enraged them. Confusion was on every side. I saw measures taken against the company who had the light and power of God. Darkness thickened around them, yet they stood firm, approved of God, and trusting in Him. I saw them perplexed. Next, I heard them crying unto God earnestly. And then from Testimonies, Volume 1, page 353. As the third message swells to a loud cry, and as great power and glory attend the closing work, the faithful people of God will partake of that glory. It is the latter rain which revives and strengthens them to pass through the time of trouble. So here we see that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain is inseparably connected with the loud cry. So that when the loud cry is given, the latter rain falls with it. And it was the latter rain and the loud cry that aroused and enraged all the wicked and unbelievers, and then led them to take measures against those who gave the loud cry. So the message being given, accompanied with the latter rain power of the Holy Spirit, awakened both good and bad, and the bad, the unbelievers, the wicked, were enraged and then took measures against those who gave the message. If you look at quote number 4. So then, does the latter rain and the loud cry occur before or after the Sunday law is passed? Listen closely. From Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, page 422 and 424 to 5. God still has a people in Babylon, and before the visitation of his judgments, these faithful ones must be called out, that they partake not of her sins and receive not of her plagues. Hence the movement symbolized by the angel coming down from heaven, lightening the earth with his glory, and crying mightily with a strong voice, announcing the sins of Babylon. In connection with his message, the call is heard, "Come out of her, my people." As these warnings join the third angel's message, it swells to a loud cry. The sins of Babylon will be laid open. The fearful results of a union of church and state, the inroads of spiritualism, the stealthy but rapid progress of the papal power, all will be unmasked. By these solemn warnings, the people will be stirred. Thousands upon thousands have never listened to words like these. In amazement, they hear the testimony that Babylon is the church, in other words, their church, fallen because of her errors and sins, because of her rejection of the truth sent to her from heaven. The people go to their former teachers with the eager inquiry, "Are these things so?" The ministers present fables, prophesy smooth things to soothe their fears and quiet the awakened conscience. But many, and praise God for the many, but many refuse to be satisfied with the mere authority of men and demand a plain, "Thus saith the Lord." The popular ministry, like the Pharisees of old, are filled with anger as their authority is questioned. They denounce the message as of Satan and stir up the sin-loving multitudes to revile and persecute those who proclaimed it. As the controversy extends into new fields and the minds of the people are called to God's downtrodden law, Satan is astir. The power attending the message only maddens those who oppose it. The clergy put forth almost superhuman efforts to shut away the light, lest it should shine upon their flocks. By every means at their command, they endeavor to suppress the discussion of these vital questions. The church appeals to the strong arm of civil power, and in this work, papists are solicited to come to the help of Protestants. The movement for Sunday enforcement becomes more bold and decided. The law is invoked against commandment keepers. Did you see the step-by-step scenario of this issue? Here we see that the loud cry message that the churches are part of Babylon fallen and that God's people must come out of her was given first. Then this controversy extended into new areas. Then the movement for Sunday enforcement intensified until finally the Sunday law was passed. So the message being given brought on the Sunday law, and it was not the Sunday law that signaled the time to give the message. So this shows us that the falling of the latter rain and the giving of the loud cry comes before, not after, but before the Sunday law is passed. And dear ones, it is already time for the latter rain to fall and the loud cry message to be given. If you look at quote number 5, from Last Day Events, from the Letters and Manuscripts of E.G. White, page 61, which was written in 1892. The descent of the Holy Spirit upon the church is looked forward to as being in the future, but it is the privilege of the church to have it now. From Testimony to Ministers, page 509 and 512, which was written in 1897. Let us, with contrite hearts, pray most earnestly that now, in the time of the latter rain, the showers of spiritual grace may fall upon us. It is the time of the latter rain when the Lord will give largely of His Holy Spirit. In Review and Herald, November 22, 1892, the time of test is just upon us, for the loud cry of the third angel has already begun. The loud cry of the third angel has already begun. In the revelation of the righteousness of Christ, the sin-pardoning Redeemer. This is the beginning of the light of the angel whose glory shall fill the whole earth. And then in Last Day Events from the Letters and Manuscripts of E.G. White, page 83, which was written in 1906. All are to hear the last message of warning. The prophecies in the book of Revelation, chapters 12 to 18, are being fulfilled. In the 18th chapter is recorded the very last call to the churches. In other words, the loud cry. This call is now to be given. So here we see that the latter rain was already falling. The loud cry was already to be given. So dear ones, I hope you can realize that your all-wise God, who never errs, who only speaks the truth, has positively declared that the time for the latter rain is already here, and the loud cry message is already being given. So then it doesn't matter what any other person or pastor or ministry or church states to the contrary. What only matters is what God states. So this means that you can receive the latter rain this very day. All you have to do is ask God for the outpouring of His Spirit, and He'll give Him to you. And this also means that you can give the loud cry message to come out of all the Babylon fallen churches today. you don't have to wait any longer. It's time now. We're told in Zechariah 10:1, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, which is now. So ask him for it. And what's the promise? So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone, grass or new growth in the field or in their heart. So you can receive the latter rain today if you ask the Lord in faith. He'll give it to you. New life will occur in your heart, and then you can give the loud cry message with power that will wake up both the good and the bad, and the controversy will extend, leading all the way up to the passing of the Sunday law. But if the message is not given, then the Sunday law can't be passed. It's delayed. Thus, Christ's coming can't occur as soon as it could. It's delayed. And thus, Satan has more time to bring about the loss of precious souls through the delay. That's why there's so many voices out there saying that the latter rain and the loud cry will not come until after the Sunday law is passed. Because the devil knows the truth that without the message being given, the Sunday law will never come. And thus he wins through the delaying of the events of these last days. But God has brought to our attention the truth. What are you, dear precious listener, going to do with the truth? I pray that you will study these things for yourself and understand that it's time now to receive the latter rain and give the loud cry. In Revelation 18, 1-5, we're told what the message of the loud cry is. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, or in other words, being poured out from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. No longer do the fallen churches of today have the presence of God or the presence of the heavenly angels in their midst, but they are filled with devils. Continuing, for all nations, and this refers to denominations, for all denominations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her, or Babylon's fornication, her false doctrines. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. God's people are still within these fallen churches of Babylon. And the only way they're going to come out is if they hear the truth about the churches they're a part of, and the message that God wants them to leave. Will you under the power of the latter rain, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, give this message, dear ones? And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Probation is closed for all the apostate churches. Judgment is about to fall upon them because of their sins. But God still has faithful souls within those doomed churches. Who's going to give them the message? Those who know the truth and the timing when to give the message. And dear ones, each one of you have heard the truth and the timing when to give it. Study these things for yourself and then decide what you're going to do. And I pray that you will ask God for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and receive Him, and then give that message with power, because it's time. But if you choose to wait, if you decide that it's not yet time, or if you trust in the fallible words of others, then you just might be passed by, even though the latter rain is falling all around you. We're told in Testimony to Ministers, page 507, only those who are living up to the light they have will receive greater light. Unless we are daily advancing in the exemplification of the active Christian virtues, we shall not recognize the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. It may be falling on hearts all around us, but we shall not discern or receive it. Why? Because you're looking into the future for the time for the latter rain to fall, such as after the Sunday law, when the latter rain was already falling all around you, but your unbelief kept him out of your hearts. So since the latter rain is already falling today, and the loud cry is already being given today, then this means, dear ones, that we have already entered into this very first event of these last days. And this also means that all the rest of these sequential events will not end until all 30 of them have occurred. So we are definitely living in the last days. Now, if you look at quote number 6, that was event number 1, that the latter rain and the loud cry are already here today before the Sunday law is passed. But the next event to occur is number 2. Major calamities fill the land and are viewed as judgments from God because Sunday is not kept holy. We're told in Manuscript Releases, Volume 10, page 239. Satan puts his interpretation upon events, and they, or people, think, as he would have them, that the calamities which fill the land are a result of Sabbath breaking. And we're also told in Review and Herald, June 4, 1901, and this is the 10th paragraph. Satan works under a guise of religion, and guided by him, the professed Christian world will be very zealous in working against the law of God. Satan is leading men and women to complete the ruin he began in heaven. He is willing for the world to declare that the calamity by land and sea and the destruction by flood and fire are because Sunday is desecrated. Herein lies his deception. He is well pleased when men and women exalt Sunday, for he has been working for centuries to place the first day of the week where the seventh should be. So the second event, after the latter rain falls and the loud cry is being given, is that major calamities will fill the land and people will believe these are judgments from God because Sunday is not kept holy. And did you know that people are already declaring this very thing? From the WorldNet Daily site that posts different events in the news, they reported a Christian minister who called the disaster of the tsunami that struck Sumatra, that tsunami was a divine visitation on the Lord's Day against those pleasure seekers. And article reads as follows. A Christian minister claims the tsunami of Sunday, December 26, 2004, killing at least 160,000 people, was direct result of pleasure seekers breaking God's Sabbath, again on Sunday. In the February issue of his church magazine, John MacLeod of the Free Presbyterian Church of Scotland writes, "Possibly no event since Noah's flood has caused such loss of life by drowning as the recent Asian tsunami. That so many of our fellow creatures should have perished in so short a time and in so awful a fashion was a divine visitation that ought to make men tremble the world over." He continued, "Some of the places most affected by the tsunami attracted pleasure seekers from all over the world. It has to be noted that the wave arrived on the Lord's Day, the day God set apart to be observed the world over as a holy resting from all employments and recreations that are lawful on other days. The tsunami, a series of tidal waves sparked by a subsea earthquake off Sumatra, arrived on Sunday morning, the day after Christmas, in countries including Indonesia, Sri Lanka, India, and Thailand. The 74-year-old minister, now living in London area, after spending 35 years in Stornoway, Scotland, concluded, "Do not worldliness, materialism, hedonism, uncleanness, and pleasure-seeking characterize our own generation in a great extent? And does not this solemn visitation in Providence remind us that he remains the same God still? God is no idle spectator of what is happening here in time and treats men with the sharpness and severity in order that they may know their vices." So here we see that people are already publicly declaring that the major calamities around the world are judgments from God because Sunday is not being kept holy. Now, after major calamities fill the land and are being viewed as judgments from God because Sunday is not kept holy, then the next event to occur in this scenario is number 3. People cry out for Sunday laws. Now, this is not speaking of the national Sunday law. This is speaking of local laws. From if you look at quote number 7, from Testimonies, Volume 5, page 450 to 451. The same masterful mind that plotted against the faithful in ages past is still seeking to rid the earth of those who fear God and obey His law. Satan will excite indignation against the humble minority who conscientiously refuse to accept popular customs and traditions. Men of position and reputation will join with the lawless and the vile to take counsel against the people of God. Wealth, genius, education will combine to cover them with contempt. Persecuting rulers, ministers, and church members will conspire against them. With voice and pen, by boasts, threats, and ridicule, they will seek to overthrow their faith. By false representations and angry appeals, they will stir up the passions of the people. Not having a thus saith the Scriptures to bring against the advocates of the Bible Sabbath, they will resort to oppressive enactments to supply the lack. To secure popularity and patronage, legislators will yield to the demand for a Sunday law. So here we see that the Sunday law is not something that's going to come upon the people of this land as an overwhelming surprise, but it's going to be something demanded by the people. Now, did you know, dear ones, that there are already multitudes of voices publicly calling for Sunday legislation today? From the Pope all the way down to the common working people. Pope John Paul II sent out an apostolic letter to the various nations and peoples of the world, which admonished and encouraged them to honor and respect Sunday as a sacred worship day. In his letter, the Pope even urged fellow Catholics to, quote, strive to ensure that civil legislation respects their duty to keep Sunday holy, and that the state must guarantee Sunday rest. This was from his apostolic letter called Dies Domini of July 7, 1998. He wasn't the only one. Pope Benedict XVI also exalted Sunday worship over 16 times in just his first 3 years in papal office. And the current Pope Francis is also very active in promoting Sunday worship and legislation. But the popes of Catholicism are not the only ones who are active in promoting Sunday worship and legislation. From an open letter to the Christian community of Brandon, Illinois in 1988 was a handout that had this message. We, the undersigned ministers and Christian workers, representing the Presbyterian, Baptist, and Methodist churches, appeal to the Christian community to protect the Lord's Day by using it as a time for worship and service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know, dear ones, that these calls for Sunday exaltation and legislation will continue on, especially as more calamities of sea, land, and air occur and grow more intense. So that was the third event. What about the fourth? After people begin to cry out for Sunday laws to be passed, then the next event to occur is that secular Sunday legislation is locally passed or enforced in various countries, states, districts and cities. From Manuscript Releases, Volume 10, page 239. Satan puts his interpretation upon events, and they think, as he would have them, that the calamities which fill the land are a result of Sunday breaking. Thinking to appease the wrath of God, these influential men make laws enforcing Sunday observance. So this isn't talking about the national Sunday law, but secular laws that are local in scope. Continuing, they think that by exalting this false rest day higher and still higher, compelling obedience to the Sunday law, the spurious Sabbath, they are doing God's service. Those who honor God by observing the true Sabbath are looked upon as disloyal to God, when it is really those who thus disregard them who are themselves disloyal because they are trampling underfoot the Sabbath originated in Eden. Now, dear ones, did you know that there are already countries around the world who have passed Sunday legislation in their particular nations? The countries of Austria, Australia, Canada, Croatia, England, with Seventh-day Adventist support, by the way, in England, Fiji, Germany, Hungary, Israel, Italy, Jamaica, Mexico, Puerto Rico, Slovenia, and others already have Sunday laws in various forms in their nations. Even in the United States of America, there are already various forms of Sunday legislation. All state and federal governmental offices and agencies are closed on Sunday. And the following states in our union already have Sunday blue laws. The states of Alabama, Colorado, Connecticut, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, New Jersey, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Texas, Utah, and West Virginia already have Sunday laws in their books. And remember, these Sunday legislations have already been declared constitutional way back in 1961 by the Supreme Court. So this shows you that we're not just in the first event where the latter rain and the loud cry come and are to be given. We're also in the second event. We're also in the third event. And we're also in the fourth event. So we're not just beginning in the time of the end, we're already into it. And yet people don't recognize where we are in the stream of these last day events. They're still waiting for the Sunday law to be passed before they'll begin to agree that we're in the last days. That now it's time to get up and work for the Lord. It's time now. It's already been time. How much longer is Christ going to have to plead his blood before the Father, saying, "Wait, wait. My people are not yet ready." How much longer is the Lord going to have to wait for you to recognize that the light has already come? The glory of the Lord is already shining upon you. It's time now to receive the latter rain, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to go forth and proclaim the loud cry. It's time to go home, dear ones. So we're already living in the first four events of the scenario of the last days. What about the rest of them? What occurs after secular Sunday laws are being locally passed or enforced in various countries, states, districts, and cities? This is what we'll discover next time. And it has to do with evil spirits. May God help us all to watch, to pray, and to work, lest our light goes out and we stumble in darkness and become lost. May God help us to come ever nearer the Savior, and to press even closer to Him when all of these fiery tests, tribulations, and persecutions intensify. For He is our only hope. He is our life. And everything else is worthless except Him. But praise God that we're one day closer to the coming of our Lord and the ending of this great controversy. Our closing song is entitled, In a Little While. And any who would like to take a verse, please feel free. Let us sing a song that will cheer us by the way. In a little while we're going home. For the night will end in the everlasting day. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billow's foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home.
We will smooth the path on some weary worn feet. In a little while we're going home. And may loving hearts spread our running fingers sweet. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little we shall cross the Venus Pond. We shall meet at last when the stormy seas have passed. In a little while we're going home.
We'll do the work that our hands may find to do. In a little while we're going home, and the grace of God will our daily strength renew. In a little while we're going home. in a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home.
There's a rest beyond.
There's relief from every care. In a little while we're going home. And no tears shall fall in that city bright and fair. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home.
Praise God. Praise His holy name indeed. In a little while, dear ones, we're going home. Let us endure unto the end. Let us hold fast to our Savior. Let us finish the course, cross the finish line, and then our Savior, with His own hand, will put the crown of victory on our heads. As unworthy as we are, our loving, merciful, compassionate Savior will crown us with His own hand. And we in turn will take our crowns and put them at His feet, because we recognize that without Him, we would not have made it. May He indeed become your all in all. That pearl of great price, that immense precious treasure that you've sold and sacrificed everything in order to gain. For He is indeed our life. May we bow our heads and our knees for closing prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank You so very much for not leaving us in darkness, but opening our understanding through Thy inspired word, through the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, and letting us know the events that are going to take place one after another in these last days. Thank You for opening our understanding to recognize that the latter rain is already falling and we don't have to wait for it anymore. That the loud cry is already going forth and we're being left behind. Please help us to repent of our lethargy and blindness and short-sightedness. Help us to repent for being misled. And thank You, dear Savior, for cleansing us, purifying us, refining us, justifying us, and sanctifying us through Your precious blood, merits, and righteousness. And thank You, Spirit, for opening our understanding to the truth. Please help us now to study it for ourselves, that we won't just accept it based on the testimony of myself or others, but we may base it on Your testimony, Your inspired word, that we can see it for ourselves written there, and thus know it is truth because You said it, not someone else. And please, Spirit, empower the truth in our hearts and bring about new growth. Refresh us. Empower us. And speak through us with divine earnestness and power. The loud cry, pointing people to Jesus Christ and calling them out of their fallen, devil-controlled churches, that they may be freed in the Savior and not kept in bondage to the devil. Thank you that this message is going forth around the world. Thank you that your messengers are indeed giving the loud cry and filling this earth with thy glory more and more as each day passes. And thank you for calling each one of us to be your messenger and to give this same message and seek to empty Babylon of captives and enlarging your kingdom of righteousness with precious souls in the Savior. Be with those who have heard the truth and are deciding whether to follow it. Be with those who are in the valley of decision, and please pour thy Spirit upon them in greater measure that they may clearly understand what you would have them do, and then give them the grace and the strength and the courage to follow you regardless of the consequences. And again, thank you for your word of inspiration so that we can clearly see the time of night and where we are in the stream of the last days. And thank you that in a little while, our Savior will come, and we can go home. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Blessed Sabbath to everyone. I know this message is truth. My heart was pounding listening to the message, testimony of Jesus Christ. I also, it remind me as, the vision that Sister White had, with the wagon, and there were people, they had to take everything off because, it was too much for them to carry, and they had to walk this narrow path. And when you mentioned that only Jesus, nothing matters, is that it reminded me of that the white wall that we have to press, and it's going to the more it looks like the more we walk this narrow path, the more suffering comes in, because it's not only before, because it says it was a precipice, and we have to walk in single lines, one behind another. And it mentioned that others walked that wall, so and there was blood stain on the wall. So I just wanted to share that, and it's just beautiful, and I wish we could always have messages like that every single day. That's what we have to read and keep continue studying for yourself, for ourselves, and give this message, because that's the only way that we will have fire and, you know, or zealous to continue giving this gospel to people that does not know God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I have two scripture songs and a testimony of gratitude to be able to share. The first one is Matthew 5:16. keeping in mind a dear sister that taught me this. She's not really feeling so well. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5:16, and the other scripture song is, come and hear, O ye that fear, that in earth will declare what he has done for my soul. Dear ones, I want to thank each and every one of you that prayed for my dad. This is the second time that he was able to come to America and receive the natural treatments that he needed. And he went back and God had been victorious. Thank you, Jesus. My father is totally 100% zero in cancer. And also, the water that is in his brain, because of, thank you, Elder Ra, for sharing with me all the dietary that he needed to take. Right away, when you did gave us that list, not only did I decided to start applying it right away, but at the same time, the Lord, in his mercy, there were so many people at the same time that were sick. We was also aiding dear sister Jeanette. She's sleeping in the Lord right now. There were so many patients at the time that had cancer. So many people that was being plagued with cancer. Dear sister Enya, she was given the diagnosis of breast cancer. There were so many at the same time, but the Lord in his mercy, all of the time that we was getting all the information, the Lord was really merciful. And also, this week we had a scare. My mom was rushed to the hospital with palpitation and the numbness of her legs. And praise God that we was able to pray in her behalf, because my mom at this moment, she's not pulling the message. And the only thing that I was praying for, not a selfish prayer, but for the Lord to spare her, that she may be able to receive the gospel for the purpose of her salvation. I just want to thank each and every one of you, each one of you, for all the prayers, and also asking the Lord thanksgiving and gratefulness that he allowed this message to be able to be given today. Even though that the enemy was trying to delay, but delay does not mean remove. Sometimes the Lord knows what his people need and at what time. And thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for all of us in every circumstances that he has chosen. Even though we may not understand, it is perfect timing and it's perfect will. God bless each and every one of you. And my father said, thank you for prayers. He loves everyone and he also misses everyone. My father's computer is not working. And by God's grace, we will, in prayer, see if he can be able to receive one. But thank you so much, dear family, for praying for mine. And I will continue praying for yours in Jesus' name. Amen.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. God bless you. I'm going to jump in here real quick. I got to run my little dog out. He's looking at me, but I just wanted to get on here real quick before running out. And just say I praise God, yes, definitely, for this message today. It is a great message. It was greatly received. I thank God for it. I had copied the link for the lesson today to send to Brother Guy, okay, in Guyana. And so I have been communicating with him. We haven't communicated as much this week. We've been kind of missing one another. But I praise God. He's still taking a stand. He says he's getting very heavy persecuted from the mainly from the from the Assembly of God churches, and they're very persistent with their coming against him. Evidently, from what communicating with him, he is a very well-known pastor in the area and has been looked highly upon through the years, but now with him departing, they're very consistent and persistent on trying to get him to come back. And he says he will never turn back. He will never go back, no matter how many chairs they offer him or anything else. He says that he has been opened, his eyes have been opened up, not only his eyes, but his heart has been opened up to this great truth. He's been doing studying on his own on the last days and been studying some other things in regards with the Mark of the Beast. And it's just a tremendous blessing to hear. I am so honored and blessed to be a part of this outreach to him and the decision. He said even the chiefs, I had mentioned this before, with the chiefs ministry are coming to him and to hearing him out. But he said the chiefs are even being more persistent with their to a point of demanding for him to come back and all that. And he said no cheers or no cheers. He has taken a stand. He's been doing witnessing in the market during the week. He says they don't have market on Sabbath. The people don't do that on Sabbath. And that's kind of odd to me that they don't have that on Sabbath, but yet, you know, they look down on the Sabbath. So, that's just crazy to me, but nevertheless, he goes during the week. They've been saying that, he's been saying that they do gather for prayer almost every day, in the evening. And with the last time that I had communicated him earlier in the week, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, he said they had 85 people gather for an hour in prayer. Shared with them many different things and said that, you know, with a matter of even gathering just for the hour, it's still being honored, you know, it's still giving honor to God and, lifting him up. And, I know in my own life personally that there's been many times where I attended prayer meetings and the prayer meetings turned into, praise and worship services where, I mean, it was just a tremendous move of the Holy Spirit upon the, people that had gathered. And, it was just a wonderful sight. So, if it can be done in the different areas and different congregations that I had attended, I believe that, this can happen there. I believe great things that are in store for Brother Nelson as he continues to take a stand on here. He knows that, God is his source, his provision. And he says that if no, you know, if no man will step forward and be on his side, he says that, you know, he's got God, as his foundation, as his chief cornerstone. And witnessing, talking to him last night and just in regards with that, he was mentioning about with the chiefs and all that and with the villages, mentioned that, you know, here, you know, they're going to, how, I said, how are the people going to feel that once they, you know, realize, the things of truth and that Christ Jesus being our chief cornerstone, he's going to override all these chiefs no matter how much they come against him. He is coming in with great glory, and he is going to show the people who is the great chief, who is that great cornerstone. So I praise God for that. Also, I have a young man that at my job that I don't recall if I mentioned this last week or not, but been sharing, talking with him, and I shared a CD on the Mark of the Beast from another minister from Seventh-day Adventist, but very much wonderful, awesome message. And I shared with him another message, a pamphlet on Mark of the Beast. And so he thought I just gave it to him, you know, to listen to him. And the next day that I seen him, he went to go give it back to me. Now, he has a Church of God background. His mom was a former Muslim. And, she has recently became a Hebrew Israelite. And, so with him being with Church of God, there's a lot of different winds of doctrine going on there, but, it was great to spend some time with him, sharing with him, the CD. I told him he could have the CD. It was a CD that, I have had that, I could get another one. I know the place where I could get it from. But I just felt blessed to let him have that, to give that to him. He said he wanted to share it with family members and all that, which is a great thing for him to do. But great conversations that we've had together, and I thank God for that. As for prayer, I just ask for your prayer for healing in my body. I over the last day or two, I guess with the schedule that I've been keeping, with not getting much sleep and just to kind of weird hours working at work, and had to stay late a couple of days with some new people coming in. Asked for prayer. I ended up getting a chest cold, so felt it coming on Thursday night, Friday, earlier part of Friday, and last night. That's why I wasn't attending service last night, because I just was so out of it that I ended up calling an early night. But again, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for the with the service here, Elder Rob. I just so appreciate with this opportunity that the Lord is providing you to put together and to offer us up to us and our group here. We might be small in number, but again, praise God for the gathering that we have. I so appreciate with the lessons that are being taught and things in the church world as it is, because it's awesome to see, you know, that the subject of where can we go, you know, when we come out of the churches, and it's a matter of, you know, just as the day with the apostles on the day of Pentecost, after that they met, you know, from home to home. And I believe that this is going to be happening more and more in the last days. We're not going to be gathering in buildings of stone and mortar, but we're going to be building, gathering together in some places that a lot of people wouldn't even assume that we would gather in. We know that in many different places it's already happening. I know of some places in Japan and China that they're gathering. I know one place, I think it was in Japan, that they were gathering in a mountainside, in a cavern in a mountainside, and that was the only place where they could go where they weren't facing persecution. We are going to be facing persecution. We see this, you know, with world events that are going on, and I pray to God that we can all take a stand in these last days, and that we could not only stand but endure to the end. God bless you and keep you. I will return after I take Toby out for a walk. God bless. Bye-bye.
You know, sometimes when we're having prayer and somebody else is praying, sometimes something they say leads you thinking on something else. And during closing prayer, this song came to mind, Soon and Very Soon.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
Well, praise God, amen, for everything that has transpired in this meeting today. Well, I have a burden that I need to tell you all, because as I've tried to explain to you some about what's going on in my situation, I get the feeling that it's not really understood, and maybe there's not another person that you know as a believer that is like me. I know I would, if there's not very many, and in the sense of what's going on in my life. And I feel that I need to let you know my plight so that you can pray in intelligence for me, intelligently about what's going on. And sometimes we hear things and we can kind of just make assumptions on various things, and it may not be the case. So what I want to say is that, and I've withheld speaking more freely because I have waited to see what's going to happen with my husband, and I have wanted to honor him, and I have not, the timing wasn't right to express what was really happening, but and the Lord, I pray, Lord, I've been praying, give me the words to say that will glorify you, and if I stumble anywhere, please forgive me and help my brethren here listening to forgive me as well, because I truly want to give glory to you, but yet to help them understand, as I believe you are wanting me to do, because my situation is very much in very urgent need of prayer. And you can't pray in the way that needs to be prayed if you don't know what's going on. So I'm not going to be able to keep this very short. I'm sorry. I'll just do my very best. But I've told you some things about how I entered into following Christ in 1996. And thank you, brother. I don't want to be impatient because I might not hear the Lord correctly. And I don't want the enemy to haste me into words where I misspeak. So thank you. My husband, I told you that his heart was not convicted. And I've told you all that I have had concerns about him all along. Well, there are reasons that I had these concerns. All along, he fought against the truth in subtle and clever ways that I was trying to bring into our home. When I would train our child, our son, he would be training in various ways oppositely. When I would try to teach my son the ways of God, my husband would say, no, he doesn't have to do that. My son would hear these things. So we never had the kind of home. He wouldn't come right out, but in some situations he would say, no, I didn't do that when I was growing up. And I would say, well, you weren't following Christ. You were Roman Catholic. And all these years trying to explain the confusion in my own home has been unbelievable. And then when I would misstep and overspeak, so many times I would go to him because I would be just in tears so much of these past 20 years. And I would say, Mike, please forgive me. I'm sorry for yelling at you out about this or that. We can't let our son do this and such or this and that. And they were serious things that were being allowed. Serious things. And one time in desperation, I cried out and I said, you are destroying our son. And then I had to apologize for that but here I didn't have the teaching. I was coming from a very worldly background. I knew some things in the Bible. I could see that's what was compelling me on, because as I've told you all, I love the Word of God and I've always spent so much time in it. And that was a mercy of the Lord to cause me to love His Word as I do. I still love it. I can't get enough of it. It has kept me and He has used it mightily in my life. But then when we'd go to the different churches, it was always, Mike, we've got to leave this church. They're doing this and that. And finally, you'd say, okay, we'd go to a different church and a new set of problems, but more cleverly disguised. And so it just got worse and worse and worse. And it's no wonder I have health issues, really. It's just no wonder. I mean, I don't know if any of you have been in Babylon, but I was in it until I came to you all. And I got, the thing is, though, the Lord knew the timing. And He knew what I had come from. He knew how much truth I could take in at that point. So He led me to this church to hear the gospel, to this church to learn just more about God and the Bible, verse by verse, expository teaching, and the Greek and the Hebrew, and learning just scholastically, kind of. And then the last church to learn about sanctification and holiness and denying self, although they didn't really go all the way and there was so much other things going on there, but that was the teaching I really wanted all along. And I just got it here and there. Well, from the Word, I could see it, but I might find a book here or a book there that had a little bit about it. But then I would tell someone about this book and they say, oh, he's not good. He got into charismatic stuff. And I think, well, you know, so it was confusion. And I think, well, maybe I shouldn't be reading this. But I could. But again, the Lord was in this. So I might think that for a few months and back off. But then the Lord would bring me back and he would not let go of me. He kept me through that, all that confusion and so many people. And I was disliked at so many of the churches, everything. I would just be being a Christian. And one time I had a lady slap my hand in the hallway because of something I said. And it wasn't a bad thing. It was the truth in a very sweet way. And so there has been persecution all along and with my family and with my husband's family. I had to take a stand against alcohol because I didn't want my son going around it anymore. At first I would go in, you know, well, first I was part of it and then I got saved and came out of it and started witnessing, or I got following Christ, hearing the gospel and got on the path. So I would try to just be a light and just go and be silent. No one ever told me that I should separate from all this drinking. No one, everyone that I would ever know would say, no, you got to go on, you got to be alive. But I for years did that. But finally the Lord told me I cannot keep doing this because it's condoning it. If I'm saying, oh, how are you today? And they've got a glass in their hand. So the Lord, in time, he brought me to see, this is, I can't have a part of this. So I had to tell my husband, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going. You can go, but I can't do it. And this is what's happened, but I felt so bad. I'm going against my husband. He said, no, let's do it this way. And no, let's do it. So I would feel this is why the confusion, because he was, oh, he's one of them. And I'm trying to say that my husband is proving himself to be an evil man. And that is hard to say, but the hatred that I'm experiencing from him now, the lies, the deception, back when I had a little bit of worldliness in me, he liked me. He could put up with these things. Back when I didn't know things or would struggle with trying to put something away and hadn't put it away, and he's always encouraging me in worldliness. And so eventually, I just couldn't take it anymore. So about seven, somewhere around there, that's when I separated from alcohol, back in probably 2009 or 10. And that's when my troubles, they'd already begun because I had separated in some ways. But that's when his whole family, especially, began to hate me. I have been at weddings where alcohol was served, and I had said things in the past, and I've had people look at me with such hatred, you'd think that if they had a gun, they'd shoot me in the face, and this would be a brother-in-law. And so that the level of hatred for me is serious. It is serious hatred. And my husband has joined the ranks. He's back to the man he was when I first married him, only 50 times worse, 100 times worse, because he knows the truth and he has rejected it. There are things that he has done. Just in May, let me give you an example. In May, he told me, why do I love you so much? And I said, this was on Mother's Day. He made my Mother's Day so special. I felt so loved and thankful to the Lord that, you know, I'll remember I've been asking you to pray for my husband. I thought there was hope. Maybe he'll. And I said, I don't know, but I sure am glad you do. And then when he told me a few weeks ago he's unhappy, I said, Mike, how can this be? You just told me in May on Mother's Day. Why do I love you so much? And when he left Christ, it was sudden. It was just sudden. He's been reading since 2012, atheism. He hates Christ. He has beaten me up. He's come in here and talked about my Lord and made me to listen to his hateful words, to where I've said, please, please, we don't agree. I don't want to talk with you. There's nothing I can say. I've said everything to you. Please. And then he'd pick on me again. And then when I started with the Sabbath, it only got worse. Of course. because the Lord's purified me. Praise the Lord. But so he has been all along deceiving me. His heart was never right. He was always never understood, never cared to witness to family, but would do it sometimes when I would beg him. I would beg him, please talk to your mother, talk to your brother. And maybe at the church when he was made a deacon at that church before last, the one local here, that's when he did the most because he felt like he should since he was made a deacon because he did a few things recording messages there and they made him a deacon for that. So that's the kind of devils that were in the church that I was in. It was filled with devils. And I'm thankful that God saw me through. There's a verse that says, in every place where my name is recorded or something like that, how God has led. He led me to places where his name was recorded, but he's not there. But the truth that I needed at that point was given. So he worked through the error to lead me to where I am now, to this truth. He's so merciful. But I want you to know I've never told you all this. You know what the first church was that I went to inquiring about? I used to work at Whole Foods Market doing marketing part-time when my son was in Catholic school in first grade. Thank God by the few months into second grade, there was a Christian friend that homeschooled and I took him out and homeschooled him, started homeschooling him in second grade. But I wasn't walking with the Lord until my son when he was in third grade. And boy, I was on fire for the Lord. I couldn't stop talking and teaching my son about the Lord. The Bible was the first thing we did every day. And, you know, and I begged with my husband to pray for me. There were times when he would do it. So it's not like I know what the Word says about marriages. I've studied about marriage. I wanted that marriage. It's not like I didn't study or, you know, I wanted to do everything right. And so, but I lose my train of thought. So, my husband has been saying things. I am sick. I want you all to know. I'll be frank. I'm 5'4" and a half and I'm down to almost 80 pounds and I have diabetic type symptoms, but there could be something with my pancreas because my aunt died of pancreatic cancer and I've had tests through the years for it. I had an acute pancreatitis attack in 2008. The doctor thinks it was after eating quite a bit of gluten. I'm skin and bones and I look like a concentration camp victim. I truly do. I've seen those movies and I look just like them. And so my health is dire. And yet I feel my husband has waited as long as he can, hoping I would die. I know that now. He was hoping I would die, but he just couldn't wait anymore. So, and there's a reason I don't want to say. I believe there's a reason why he's pushing this so quickly. I told him I think you're interested in this particular person, and he did not deny it. So that's what's going on. His true heart has come to, in 2012, he's gone deeper and deeper and deeper, and I believe that. I don't know if God's totally let him go. I continue to pray, but I will tell you, this is another confusing thing. He wanted me to go see, he knows I don't see movies. I haven't gone to movies in years. I didn't even want the television. I never watched television. I asked him years ago, please don't turn on football games. Please don't turn those things on. You know, and so he hasn't been, but he's felt so oppressed. He's called my mother to speak against me and tell me to justify the divorce. He's called our son. My son has told me just recently that Dad really wanted me to be on his side. And he's called everyone in his family, friends. As soon as he could, he called everyone to tell them that he's getting a divorce. And they're all of his family. They've hated me for so long. They are helping him in every way. They have all gathered together. They have gathered together. But God says, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. He gave me that verse in 2012 because he told me this was going to happen. He let me know. I don't mean to say he told me. He gave me that verse and he impressed it upon my heart. That's what I mean when I said the Lord, you know, I'm not saying he spoke to me or had, I'm just saying he gives me a verse and he impresses upon my heart. This is going to happen to you. You're a perfect scenario for this verse. And like loving, keeping loving people because he wants me not to be bitter because my trials are grievous trials, and I cannot have bitterness. I have to have love in my heart. I cannot be bitter with my husband. I have been bitter with him in the past, and He has given me some dreams about my husband that have been amazing dreams that have helped me that I'll never forget. So my husband has not wanted me to go to the doctor because he doesn't want to pay anything. He doesn't care that I won't have any health insurance come January. The lack of love is pretty amazing. So, but the Mel Gibson movie, that's it. There's a Mel Gibson movie about some man in World War II who was a conscientious objector and had to go through some sort of court to not even carry a weapon in there because he was a Seventh-day Adventist. And he was greatly persecuted by the other man. And my husband wants to go see that movie and wanted me to go too. And he seems to really highly regard this man. And I said, but Mike, this is what you and your family are doing to me, because I keep the Sabbath and I read the Bible and I don't drink and I don't do any of those things. And I try to live a holy life. It doesn't make sense. And this is the kind of confusion that he's done all along. We have Christmas here because my husband insists. So I'll put the tree up. My heart isn't in it. And yet he still has Christmas, but he's an atheist. So I just hope you can understand the confusion. It's just, and when he fell away in 2012, he did everything in his power to take my son with him, whom I gave to the Lord with all my heart when I was saved, and have repeated that vow over and over and over again. Lord, I gave Sean to you. He is yours. I'm begging for you all to pray for my son, Sean, and his wife, Lindsay. Because my son he's not wanting to hear. I haven't spoken to Lindsay. I've been waiting for the time. I'm just getting to know her, keeping her son. Yes, that's the movie, Sister Joan. That's the movie, and he's going to go see it. But I pray, if you could pray, if there's any hope for him, I pray there is, that God will use that movie in some way or for his family. So I have a lot of decisions to make. He doesn't want me to call an attorney. He doesn't want me to do anything that will help me because he doesn't want to pay me very much. He wants to get out of this, and his family is counseling him in this. So I do even sense a sense of danger for myself. My husband is very interested in guns. And for about a year I'm not saying he would. I don't think he would. But I just don't know his mind because he seems to have lost it. And he has been collecting guns, and I often have heard him in there shooting them off, you know, blanks, but just shooting blanks and constantly watching videos about guns and telling himself he's a gun collector. He's afraid for his life. And he doesn't want to die. I think part of him may still be afraid, but he still hates Jesus vehemently. But so I don't think so, but I'm just going to say that. So I need much wisdom. The decisions that are ahead for me, I'm thinking of calling an attorney that I know that's has helped me with just some things for Mike's mother that I've worked on for her in the past, and she's a kind of a distant relative to Mike's family, but she's been very good to me by marriage. And I've thought of calling her and saying I need an advocate to tell me what I can do in this situation. And yet I want to trust God. I have nothing. I haven't worked for years, and I have very poor health, as you all now know. So, but I know without faith it is impossible to please God. He's keeping me. He's strengthening me. This message has helped me, as they all so very much. Pray for an opportunity for me with my son and his wife. Pray that God will open their eyes. And with my dear, precious mother, my sister called me yesterday. Connie used to be more listening, but she's turned against me. My family has gotten to know Mike's family more through all this. They've come together, the two families, in opposition to me and in hatred of me. So they're two large Catholic families. I've left the two churches here and the one in North Carolina, and I have no relationship with any of those people at all because of leaving and trying to tell the others to leave and the problems at the church before I even knew y'all. But I was going to say the first church that I went to, I lost my train of thought, was a Seventh-day Adventist church. And the reason I didn't go, the reason I went, was because I knew their stand on diet. And I wanted to know about that. But when I went, the lady showed me, she showed me all of Ellen White's books and the big, huge library they had here in Richardson where I live. But I said, well, what about the Bible? Because all I knew was I was wanting to learn the Bible, and I'd been reading the Bible. She said, oh, well, yeah, we do that too. And it was in such a casual way that I didn't go. And I think, isn't it interesting now? The Lord, I must not have been ready, because the lady was very worldly, and I've looked online at the church since coming here. It's a very worldly church. It's a bad Seventh-day Adventist church. And so he was protecting me, but he somehow, you know, because I knew that diet was important, and that, you know, and I wanted to know the Lord through the Bible. And this fellowship teaches the Bible and Ellen White with the utmost seriousness, both. And that's, if she had presented it to me in that way and educated me, I probably would have stayed. But then they probably wouldn't have been a worldly church if they'd done that. So that's what I have to say. I've got a lot of decisions to make. Please pray for me. And I have no thought at all of leaving the Lord. This is my hour. The Lord has been telling me in my dreams, I told you some of those I had, that my hour is coming. And I believe I've entered into my hour to give glory to the Lord. And Jesus' hour ended in his death. I don't know what will happen with me, but that's quite likely. Everything looks like that. I mean, outwardly, but the Lord knows what's going to happen. So, anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for your prayers. You understand now more of the situation. Praise God. I love you, Jesus. Amen.
Well, thank you, dear sister, for opening up and letting us know more fully the oppression and growing persecution you've been enduring for a while. Indeed, we'll be keeping you in prayer, and God will give you direction and instruction in the course that you should pursue in this issue. And he will indeed protect you, and he will indeed lead you in the directions that you should go. I also want to say that when persecution came upon the disciples in one place or another, that God did not encourage them to remain, but he told them to leave and go elsewhere. So if the physical persecution resumes against you, then please plead with God on direction on what to do in that regard, so that you don't unnecessarily endanger your life. So we'll indeed be keeping you in prayer. And even though it looks like Mike is beyond recovery, yet all things are possible through Jesus Christ. So even at this late hour in his life, there is still a possibility. But God will not force him. He has to make the decision. But again, thank you, dear sister, and let us please bow our heads and bring you and your situation up before the throne of our God. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we lift up our dear sister Teresa before you. You already know the situation that she's going through. You already know what the devil is trying to do and all that she has been enduring in your strength. I pray that you will give her divine protection on a continuing basis, as well as divine wisdom and discernment, discretion, and instruction on what you would have her do in this issue of the divorce. And all that Mike is asking her to give up for his agenda. Thank you so much for doing so. Thank you for coming closer to her and others that are enduring similar persecution in various ways. Thank you for strengthening her and giving her internal peace and rest in not worrying about the future, but knowing that you have everything already taken care of and are just arranging the circumstances to occur at the proper time in her life, as well as for a witness for others to behold and to become curious, to want to know a God that can intervene in such a marvelous way for someone who appears so weak. Thank you, dear Father, for taking her case in your hands. And please pour your spirit out in a greater way upon the heart of Mike and his relatives and our dear sister's relatives as well, that they may see the wrong road that they're pursuing, may see the end result of such a course, and may decide that they don't want it, and thus turn to Jesus for help and freedom. Thank you for shutting the devil out of this situation. We claim Job 5:12, Psalms 33:10, Psalms 140 verse 8, Proverbs 22:12, 10:24, and 21:1, that Satan will not be allowed to do anything in any way against your will in this matter. Thank you for hearing and answering these prayers and promises, and for being with our dear sister. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
I want to sing a hymn. I thought about this song for a long time, and I'm going to sing it for Jesus, but I'm going to sing it for Sister Teresa, because I'm putting myself in her shoes, and I understand. So I'm going to sing is Whiter Than Snow. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now watch me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now watch me and child shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, let not the unholy remain. I ply thy own blood and extract every stain to get this blessed cleansing of all things forgone. Now watch me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Though walk me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, look down from thy throne in the skies and help me to make a complete sacrifice. I give up myself and whatever I know. Now watch me and shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes. is whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, thou seest a patiently way. Come now on within me a new heart create. To those who have sought thee, thou never sayst no. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. The blessing by faith I receive from above. Oh, glory, my soul is made perfect in love. My prayer has prevailed and this moment now. The blood is applied and I'm whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. God bless you, everyone. Bless you, Sister Teresa. Love you, too.
Beautiful. God bless you, dear sister. Before I read these couple of passages from, I think the book is called To Be Like Christ, I had this worship last night with Joshua, and it was so beautiful to read and that I wanted to share. And it's very appropriate, especially for hard trials that we have to go through, especially in our own home. So I'm going to read it. I was asking Elder Rob to do, but the passages was passing so fast, I don't think he saw it. And at the end of the reading, if it's possible, I would like to share the hymn, I Need the Prayers. It's hymn 105. I believe Elder Rob has it in the room as well. But meanwhile, I'm going to read the passage. The servants of Christ were to prepare no set speech to present when brought for trial. The preparation was to be made day by day in treasuring up the precious truth of God's word, and through prayer, strengthening their faith, when they were brought into trial, the Holy Spirit will bring to their remembrance the very truth that will be needed. That is page 343, paragraph 2, and continuing. A daily earnest striving to know God and Jesus Christ, who He has sent, will bring power and efficiency to the soul. The knowledge obtained by the diligent searching of the Scripture will be flashed into the memory at the right time. But if any had neglected to acquaint themselves with the words of Christ, if they had never tested the power of His grace in trial, they would not expect that the Holy Spirit would bring His word to their remembrance, that word to serve God dearly with undivided affection and then trust Him. And continuing, it says, so bitter will be the enmity to the gospel that even the tenderest earthly ties will be disregarded. The disciple of Christ will be betrayed to death by the members of their own households, but He bade them not to expose themselves unnecessarily to persecution. He Himself often left one field of the labor for another in order to escape from those who were seeking His life. When He was rejected at Nazareth and His own townsmen tried to kill Him, He went down to Capernaum, and there the people were astonished at His teaching, for His word was with power, according to Luke 4:32. So His servant were not to be discouraged by persecution, but to seek a place where they could still labor for the salvation of souls. The servant is not above his master. The prince of heaven was called Beelzebub, and his disciple will be misrepresented in like manner. But whatever the danger, Christ followers must avow their principles. The principles, they should scorn concealment. They cannot remain uncommitted until assurance of safety is in confessing the truth. They are set as watchmen to warn men and women of their perils. The truth received from Christ must be imparted to all freely and openly. Desire of Ages, page 355. This reading was taken from a devotional, To Be Like Christ, page 343. And this last paragraph was number 5. If it's possible, Elder Rob, can you bring up the hymn that is called I Need the Prayers, that I can be able to share, not only for our dear Sister Teresa. Oh, it's okay. They have so many women right now that are going through the same thing, and it's very difficult when you have children where the head of the household is supposed to be the priest, have to live an example, and especially when we have boy children. Dear Sister Teresa, I had a similar experience, but the only thing that made it a little bit easier is that I could have took my son with me, because I was 5 months carrying Joshua in my womb. As when he opened his mouth and he said he would never worship Jesus, that was the only thing I needed. My fear was not to be able to share the gospel with him, but I noticed he had made his decision. And I could not go no longer to be in a situation where the household would be divided, or even going into marital tie any further, knowing that there's a possibility that my son's soul was going to be in peril, especially when his ideal was to be able to teach my son about another God. And when it comes to male, there is something that the male has with their son. It was something that I could not fight. So the only thing I did, dear one, was to hold on to the only true husband that I had, and that was Jesus. And dear sister, it gets better. At the beginning, it feels like you're going to die. But you know, when the love of God wraps around you, you realize that that divine love is greater than any earthly tie that we have here on earth. So I just want to tell you, dear sister, the battle is not finished, because once there is life in him, he can be able to come to salvation. But I pray that all the testimonies that you have left him with a life of a Christian in that household will come back and touch his heart. Because sometimes it is the greatest healer. Sometimes allow people to sit down and think and meditate, and the Holy Spirit, so grateful for him, he will bring things them in the heart of man that we could never do, no matter how hard we want to try. But it's a battle, and the battle is the enemy wants to destroy our home, our marriages, family and friends. But praise God, just keep holding on to Jesus, my sister. It gets better. I just want to share, I need the prayers, and this is not only for dear Sister Teresa, but for every individual that needs prayer right now, for whatever struggle and trial that we are going through in this life. It gets better, everyone. There was a beautiful video that our dear brother Dick shared with us, where he was actually placing the title. I love it. It said, what does it matter? I'm not sure if I'm saying it the right way, but it began with all the troubles in the world, but it ended so beautiful that at the end, all the pain, all the suffering, all the things that we earthly feel here at the end will not matter nothing, because Jesus Christ is the ultimate goal for mankind. I need the prayers of those I love while traveling all life's rugged way, that I may true and faithful be and live for Jesus every day. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempest so love, and in to sit with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I need the prayers of those I love to help me up in trying out, to bear my tempted soul to Him, that He may keep me by His power. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul up, and in to sit with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I want my friends to pray for me, to hold me up and wings of faith, that I may walk the narrow way, kept by Father's glorious grace. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempest so love, and in to sit with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I need the prayers of those I love.
We love you, Sister Teresa.
We love you too, Sister Teresa. We are enjoying prayers and mass.
Amen, and thank you for the testimony and the songs and the encouragement. Thank you so much. Well, dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share? Any other songs or testimonies, questions or comments? Well, please feel free to do so.
Hi, bless the Sabbath.
Bless the Sabbath, everybody. This is Brother Sean, as well as Sister Keisha.
I have something to say to my sister, Sister Teresa. What I would like to say is, the devil is a liar. And even though he makes it seem like you're all alone and everybody's against you and your entire family is against you and hates you and reject you, you know, when they turn against you because there's someone there who the person that is supposed to be there to love you is the main one that is going around killing your character. They did it to Christ. They will do it to you. Welcome to our walk. Rejoice and be exceeding glad because we have gone through the same path. And when it's time to trim your lamps, when they say, Master Judas arrived, fall in line for the wedding party. The cry that was cried for the virgins that were supposed to meet Christ, you share in the experience. You can trim your lamp. You can be able to walk. You can't get to heaven if you don't join the walk of Christ. But know this, you are not walking alone. You are not alone. Every step of the way, every tear that you shed, every hurt, every tear, Christ was there. Christ is there, and he's not leaving you. And he will not leave you comfortless. Okay? We all love you. And we are standing by you.
Amen. And a very beautiful passage with much instruction and comfort was put into the room from Testimonies Volume 5, page 136. To stand in defense of truth and righteousness when the majority forsake us. To fight the battle of the Lord when champions are few. This is our test. At this time, we must gather warmth from the coldness of others, courage from their cowardice, and loyalty from their treason. And the only way to do that is by remaining fixed in union with the Lord. He will indeed strengthen us, who is our life. But dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share before we close today's service? Please go right ahead.
Hi, everyone. This is Brother Sean again. I didn't know my wife came up because I was sleeping, and she put on the computer, and I was listening to it a little bit. And then I'm hearing Sister Teresa is telling her testimony. And it's like, for some reason, I couldn't sleep anymore. It's just, hear somebody going through, such, horror. And especially a Christian sister, it's kind of hard for a fellow, brother in Christ to sleep through something like that. So, Brother Dad, do you have the song God Will Take Care of You in the room? If not, I have it on my iPhone. Oh, it's on a different computer. Oh man, okay. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. Okay. Yes, I did find this song. My iPad has 4% battery power, so I need to sing this and stuff. This is dedicated to Sister Teresa, because I know that she needs a song for strength. It's called God Will Take Care of You, dear sister, and yes, God will take care of you. So it goes like this. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be thy test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. So, dear sister, just hold on to Christ, because there's no other name under heaven or in earth that we must be saved. So just the trials and stuff that you're going through, just remember that your Savior went through them first. So if he can go through them, then we can go through them. So God bless you, and we'll be praying.
Amen. I just want to sing one more hymn, and this hymn is 520, He Hide My Soul. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He bid my soul in the cliff of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. Where rivers of pleasure I see. He hided my soul in the cliff of the rock, the shadow of dry, thirsty land. He hided my life in the depths of his love, and cover me, dear, with his hands. And cover me, dear, with his hands. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burdens away. He holdeth me up in a shot that be moved. He giving me strength as my day. He giving me strength as my day. He hiding my soul in the cliff of the rock, the shadow of dry, thirsty lands. He hiding my life in the depth of his love, and cover me there with his hands. And cover me there with his hands. With numberless blessing each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God. Post-standing vessel shall Redeemer is mine.
for such a redeemer is mine. He hide in my soul in the cliff of the rock, the shadow and bright thirsty land. He hide in my life in the cliff of his love, and cover me there with his hands. And cover me there with his hand. When clothed in brightness, transported to rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation is wonderful love. I'll shout with the millions on high. I'll shout with the millions on high. He hide in my soul in the cliff of the rocks, the shadow of dry, thirsty land. He hide in my life in the depths of his love, and cover me dear with his hands, and cover me dear with his hands.
Sabbath blessing to each and every one of you. God bless. We love you, Sister Teresa.
Thank you all so much. You've blessed me and encouraged me so much. And I praise God and thank you so much for leading me here, dear Lord. And I'm strengthened and encouraged by my brethren and exhorted and admonished and filled with love because of God's grace working through you all. And I just want to say the reason I never left my husband, well, he didn't have these guns. This is a new hobby. We didn't have gun in the house. He never beat me. He never did anything to give me cause to have any reason to leave him. It's only been of late since he's left Christ and grown in this way. So I just want to make sure that you knew it was biblical for me to stay all these years. You know, and this has just been a late occurrence and with a change of heart suddenly, as I said, since May. Because we have had a love. He has really loved me and I have really loved him, especially those years when he was in the church. But even before, we have truly had a love for one another. And we had some very good times together. So it was just the confusion and the other things, which as I've mentioned, so I just wanted to let you know it was biblical for me to stay in this marriage.
Well, dear ones, thank you so much for your fellowship and participation in a wonderful church service today. Praise our God for coming close to us and pouring out his Spirit in rich abundance and enabling us to comprehend and understand the spiritual lessons in all of today's services. And I pray that we will not forget what we have heard, but will indeed study it for ourselves that it can become part of our lives. I wish you all a very happy ending Sabbath and a very blessed new week coming in the Lord. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you again, and our prayers and love and thoughts are with you all, and thank you so much for the same for me and mine in the ministry. Especially keep us in prayer that the devil will not be allowed to continue to affect our ability to get the word out, but we'll be kept in check by the Lord and all according to his will. And thank you so much for doing so. So may God bless, and I'd like to leave you with two scripture songs today. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Psalms 50:15. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. Psalm 61, 1, 2, and 3. And a strong tower from the enemy. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. So God bless you, dear ones, and keep looking up.
I'm going to attempt to sing this song. Do forgive me. We're all brothers and sisters, so if I mess up, I'm among family. it goes like this. Look unto me and be still, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no thing. Isaiah 45:22. Amen.